I'll be reading Psalm 31. For the director of music, a psalm of David. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. For you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbours and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the streets flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all, on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord.
Thanks, Ben, and good morning, everyone. Good to be opening up the Word of God with you. Now, you probably remember the news story a few weeks ago about a guy by the name of Hadi Nazari. Hadi Nazari, 23-year-old guy. He was hiking with some friends in the Snowy Mountains, and he got separated from the group on Boxing Day. And for nearly 2 weeks, he was lost in the bush. And he managed to survive he had two muesli bars and he foraged for berries and drank water from a stream. In those sort of situations, it's vital to keep going, to not give up. Bear Grylls, you might have heard of him, he's a British survival expert. He will often say that to lose hope can be fatal. When you're stuck in an extreme situation, it's important not to give up hope. Now, we may never be in that sort of hiking situation, but all of us will go through difficult times in life, times of suffering, times when we might feel like giving up. Some of us have already been through some extremely difficult things. Some of us are going through tough times right now. And for some of us, those times are coming, times of suffering. Well, in Psalm 31, we see the suffering of King David. David is distressed. He's going through an extremely difficult time. And the temptation for him would have been to give up hope. But David shows us in this psalm a real confidence that he has. In the midst of his distress, David has a confident hope. And in this psalm, God shows us that the same confidence that David had is the same confidence that we can have when we suffer. How is it that we can be confident when we suffer? Well, this psalm tells us. There are three sections to the psalm. The first section, verses 1 to 18, are a lament and a prayer to God. David cries out to God in his distress. And then in the second section, verses 19 to 22, we see that God has answered David's prayer. And then in the last two verses, David turns to address us, the reader. He tells us the lesson that he wants us to learn from his experience. So we're going to look at those three sections of the psalm. Let's look at the first section right now. It'd be great to have that open in front of you if you have a Bible there. In the first half of the psalm, we see David's lament, his prayer, and we see that in his suffering, David seeks refuge in God. He looks to God to protect him. That's the first thing to note from this psalm, that in his suffering, David seeks refuge in God. We're going to start down at verse 9 of the psalm. We're going to see what was happening for David. Verse 9, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak." David is in distress. We don't know exactly what was happening for him. He doesn't spell it out, but it's clear that he was being persecuted. His enemies are against him. Look down to verse 11 now. "Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbours and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as though I were dead. I've become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." Everyone has turned against David. His enemies plot to kill him. Even his friends have deserted him. They've forgotten him as if he was dead, as if he was a useless piece of broken pottery. I wonder if you've ever had times like that, where you feel like the world is against you. It's awful. How do you respond to a situation like that? What does David do? David seeks refuge in God. Look back with me now to verse 1 of the psalm. "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God." David gives his life over to God. He entrusts himself to God. He seeks refuge. He seeks shelter in God. We were once caught in a hailstorm near our place. That's an actual photo from the hail that we took while we were sheltering, because we had to shelter under some tables that were nearby. Some of the hail was the size of cricket balls. It was quite scary. We could have tried to run back to the car. Our car was further away than those ones there. It was a few hundred metres away, but we would have got hit by the hail. And so we decided that we were going to shelter under these tables. We sought refuge, if you like, under the tables. In the same way, David seeks refuge in God. David puts his trust in God to protect him. Have a look with me at verse 6 now. "I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord." Or down to verse 14. "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me." David trusts God. David's in real distress here, but in the midst of his distress, in the midst of his suffering, David trusts God. He seeks refuge in God. But how can he be confident that God will protect him? How can he be sure that God will answer? Well, let's look at the second half of the psalm now. Now, the second half of the psalm shows us God's answer to David's prayer. And we see why it is that David is so confident, why he can be so confident in the midst of his suffering. And it has to do not with who he is, not with who David is, but with who God is. That is why David chooses to trust God, because God is the true God. Look at verse 6 again. David says, "I want nothing to do I want nothing to do with those who trust worthless idols, who trust in false gods. My trust is in Yahweh, the Lord, the true God. Now, Hebrew is a bit of a funny language. In the Hebrew language, there's a vowel that has no sound. Now, in English, we have A, E, I, O, U. They all make a distinct sound. But in Hebrew, there's a vowel called a shva that actually makes no sound. And the word, it's called a shva because the word shva means purposeless or useless. A vowel that makes no sound is a bit useless. And the word for idols there in verse 6, it's actually the Hebrew word shva. And so an idol is something useless. It's purposeless, like a vowel that makes no sound. And the other word there, worthless, so worthless idol, that word worthless is the Hebrew word hevel, which you might remember if you were here for our series on Ecclesiastes. We saw that word come up again and again in Ecclesiastes. It means vanity. It means it's like a vapor that's there for a moment and then it's gone. And so these idols are worthless. They're nothing. They're like a vapor that disappears. An idol might seem real to the worshipper, but in reality it's useless. It's a pretend god. It cannot save. But as for me, says David, my trust is in the Lord. And that's why David is confident in his suffering, because his God, the Lord, is not a vapor that blows away in the wind, but a rock. God is a refuge to David. He's the true God, not a worthless idol. He is the one who is powerful to act. He's powerful to protect. This is the God who has control over the events of David's life. Look at verse 15. My times are in your hands, says David. This is the God who acts in a way that is righteous, verse 1, and faithful, verse 5. He does what is right, and no one can stop him from keeping his promises. David trusts in the true God. In June 2023, five people put their trust in a deep sea vessel called the Titan. They were on a voyage down to the bottom of the ocean to have a peek at the wreck of the Titanic. But tragically, you might remember the news story, all five people on board were killed. Not long into the dive, the pressure of the ocean crushed the vessel. And it turns out that the guy who built that vessel took some shortcuts, and he failed to pay attention to warnings from experts as to the safety of the vessel. It can be dangerous to put your trust in the wrong thing. In Psalm 31, David puts his trust in the Lord. God is not a blind, deaf idol. He's the true God who sees and hears and knows. And that's why David can pray in verse 2, turn your ear to me, Lord. Listen to me. That's why David's confident in verse 7 that God sees his affliction, that God knows the anguish that he's going through. David can face his suffering confidently, not because of himself, but because of the God he trusts in. God is the true God who is powerful to act. But there's a second reason for David's confidence in God, a second thing about God. God is not just powerful, but he's loving. David trusts in a God who loves. Look at me at verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. Or down to verse 16, save me in your unfailing love. David trusts in a God who loves, a God whose love is unfailing. And so he cries out to God in verse 9, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. David puts his trust in God because God is a God of power, but also a God of love. And it pays to put your trust in the right thing. Because in the second half of the psalm, we see that God has answered David's prayer. Read with me from verse 19. How abundant are the good things that you've stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. God hears David's cry. He hears David's cry for help and he shelters him. He protects David from his enemies. He provides for David. David's confidence, our confidence, when we suffer, doesn't lie in who we are, but in who God is. God is the true God, a God who is powerful and a God of love. Which brings us to the final section of our psalm. God is a refuge to all who love and trust him. In this psalm, God hears David's cry. And he answers David's cry. He spares him from his enemies. But David's prayer here, his cry to God, his prayer to protect him in his suffering, it actually has an even greater answer, one that David could only look forward to from a distance in his lifetime. David suffers here as Israel's king, but his suffering points forward to his descendant, a greater king, the Lord Jesus. Like David, Jesus suffered at the hands of his enemies. Throughout his life, people plotted to kill Jesus again and again. He was handed over to his enemies by a friend, ultimately. In fact, all his friends deserted him too. At his arrest, the Romans, Herod, the Jewish leaders, all conspired together against him. Jesus' enemies lied. They brought false testimony against him. Jesus was tried unjustly. He was mocked, he was spat at, he was stripped naked in front of the crowd. He died the cruelest of deaths. Like David, Jesus suffered. Jesus was in distress. Let me read to you again verses 9 to 13 of the psalm. And as we read it, I want you to have in mind, imagine these words on the lips of Jesus. Verse 9, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I've become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." Jesus suffered and died. And the gospel writer Luke records for us some of Jesus' final words as he hangs on the cross. And they're the words of this psalm, Psalm 31. In the depths of his suffering, right before he dies, Jesus cries out the words of this psalm to God the Father. There it is in verse 5. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Like David, Jesus suffered greatly at the hands of his enemies. And like David, Jesus trusted in his Father. He sought refuge in God. But unlike David, Jesus didn't suffer for his own sin, but for ours. And unlike David, Jesus wasn't delivered from death. But by committing his spirit into God's hands, it meant Jesus had to go through with his suffering and death. It was God's will, God's plan, that Jesus would suffer and die for us. And so unlike David, Jesus was not rescued from death. And so did God answer Jesus' prayer? Did God answer the words of this psalm as Jesus cried it out to him on the cross? Well, the answer is yes. Jesus had to suffer and die for our sake, but he trusted his Father, and God heard his cry for mercy. God raised him to life. The resurrection of Jesus is the answer, God's answer to the prayer of this psalm. In this psalm, David cries out to God. He's confident that God will hear and act. He's confident in God's power and God's love. When we cry out to God in our suffering, we have a confidence that is even greater than what David had. You see, we've seen God show his love and his power in a far greater way than David did. We've seen it in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus suffered for us, and Jesus was raised to life for us. And so as Jesus cries out the words of this psalm on the cross, his prayer is not just for himself, but for us. If we seek refuge in God, if we trust God as Jesus did, then the promise for us is that one day our suffering will end. One day we will share with Jesus in his resurrection. And so in the final two verses of the psalm, David turns to address us, the reader. Have a look with me at verse 23. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. David is calling all God's people. He calls us to seek refuge in God. And so in the midst of your suffering, be strong. Take heart. Put your hope, your trust in God. Just as David did, just as the Lord Jesus did. Because those who seek refuge in God, those whose hope is in God, they will find protection from God. Even when each of us one day stares death in the face, our confident hope is that we will be raised to life with Jesus. Now, life can get difficult. We might get a bad health diagnosis, or we might struggle with mental health. We might have relationship difficulties or financial difficulties. You might be struggling as a parent. You might have done terribly in an exam, or you might have a work meeting coming up that you're dreading. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you'll never face suffering. In fact, sometimes we suffer because we're Christians. But what is your go-to response when you suffer? What do you do when you're at the point of despair? Now, sometimes it can feel like God is nowhere to be found. We might feel like David did in verse 22. In my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from your sight. But God is the true God. That's what this psalm reminds us. The God who acts powerfully to save. The God who loves, the God who is a refuge to those who trust him. And so do difficult times push you away from God or draw you closer to him? God's encouragement to us in this psalm is to take heart when life is tough, to continue to love him, to continue to trust him. Don't make the mistake of the proud, of those who trust in idols. When life is tough, draw near to God, seek refuge in him, cry out to God in prayer. And if life is easy for you right now, you can bet your bottom dollar that there's a Christian brother or sister around you who is doing it tough. How can you encourage them? Losing hope can be fatal. When life gets tough, follow the example of David. Follow the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, when he suffered. Continue to put your trust in God. Seek refuge in him. Why is it that we can be confident when we suffer? Because God is powerful and God is loving. He preserves those who trust in him. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Why don't we pray? We praise you, Lord, that you are the true God who sees and hears when we cry out to you. Thank you for Jesus who faithfully suffered in our place. Through Jesus, you have shown us the true extent of your power and love. We love you, Father. How could we not love a God like you? Please help us to follow the example of our Savior Jesus by putting our trust in you when we suffer. Amen.